drive.
And I really truly believe that anybody can be successful. It just takes hard work.
You're about to embark on a journey where you're going to walk on a lot of glass knee thorns.
I believe that anyone who is a startup is absolutely privileged because they get to leave a legacy behind. They get to actually create something that makes a difference in the world.
Welcome to Season 3 of the WeStrive Podcast, brought to you by the WeStrive app, where we are the first marketplace for the personal training industry. Search through thousands of fitness plans from hundreds of certified trainers in the app, or sign up as a trainer at WeStriveApp.com. On this podcast, we interview entrepreneurs that are changing the world. We've had millionaire founders, top-level investors, and just some of the most inspiring people that you'll ever meet. Entrepreneurship is all about striving for greatness, and I hope the stories you hear on this podcast inspire you to go out and become a better version of yourself. Now, let's get to the episode.
We strive. All right, so this week we have Chase Diamond on the mound. Had to do it. His name does sound like he is the star baseball player in a cartoon video game, but I promise you he is real. So Chase Diamond is the founder of Boundless Labs, aka boundlesslabs.io. And he started, first of all, congrats, he just had his first kid, so very happy for him. His daughter's name is Shay. Very exciting stuff. So he started off, he was working for this company. He was able to scale it up to 300,000 students through all of his amazing email tactics. He then created one of the most successful email travel series lists of all time. And nowadays he runs this marketing agency and he's got some of the top brands around the planet working for him. So he used to do a whole bunch of things in the marketing world and he realized that his true specialty is email. And now he's just honed in on that. So I'm excited for you guys to hear this story. Here is Chase Diamond.
Corey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. I just had a newborn baby, so I'm a little bit tired, but I'm really stoked to be here.
I'm very excited for you, man. Your first kid, too.
Yeah, we had a little baby girl about 3 weeks ago. Her name is Shay, so it's been a lot, but we feel very blessed.
Shay, that is a cute name. I think I mostly have guys' names in my head. But there's like a couple girls' names that I've always thought of, but I think I'm going to add Shay to that. That's a good name.
Yeah, Shay. We love it. And then her middle name is Harley, and our last name is Diamond. So Shay Harley Diamond.
that's a lot, but I thought those are all like unique names in and of themselves. So Shay Harley Diamond.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit. That was all my wife. Nice. As our good things, right?
Exactly. Yeah, she's listening. Very cool, man. That's exciting. So tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So today I run an email marketing agency specifically for e-commerce brands called Boundless Labs. And literally all we do is we obsess over the inbox, right? So how can we help our clients drive more engagement and more revenue from emails? And email is such a channel that people forget about, right? It's not sexy. I feel like every single year you read that headline that email is dead. And most people choose to believe it. I'm excited to kind of tell you today and the audience today, like why you really should be investing into email and kind of some strategy. So I'm pumped.
Email is one thing I'm just so clueless on. Like I do a lot of it, but I just feel like every time I do something, it'll go well. And then I'll do something that I think is going to be better and then it'll go worse. And I'm just like, okay. And I'm the worst with marketing too, because I get so butthurt when like, I'll do this big email thing and I make it super professional. I follow all the rules and then it gets very low feedback. And I just let it get to me, you know? So I definitely am curious to hear more about like what you do and all that, but we're going to get started with, one of your first businesses. So you had a business that scaled to 300,000 students and let's just touch on that really quick.
Yeah. So right out of college, I went to go work for an education technology company. And I was basically tasked with how do I build something that's engaging? So they had a 1.5 million database of essays, term papers, and AP book notes that students would come and pay a subscription for. But the problem they had is students would do this, you know, once a year or maybe once every couple years. And they really wanted to create something that engaged people more frequently and was a platform of lead gen for, you know, that business. So I came in literally like, oh man, I got to come up with something. So basically came up with this platform that connected students on college campuses to others in their classroom that they did or didn't know to be able to make learning more collaborative. So we launched at the 50 largest college campuses around the US. So that's like Arizona State, Penn State, Florida State. where there could easily be 500 to 1,000 students in the classroom. And getting that individual question and that individual learning from a teacher is almost impossible, right? So Corey, if we both went to, let's say, Arizona State, and we both were a business major, we could connect around sharing course notes. We could collaborate on a study guide. We could even see previous exams of someone, you know, in our class or someone that took that class previously uploaded it. We could create an in-person study group. Corey, tomorrow at 1 p.m., we're going to the library. Do you want to come? So we built that product and students, as you can imagine, just ate it up.
And so did you do a lot of marketing to grow it, or was one of those things that you just launched it and people were like, this is amazing, and it just blew up?
So we did a ton of marketing out the gates. And then from there, kind of to your point, the word of mouth really carried it. So for us, we blitzed college Facebook groups. So when I was in college, I noticed that every single one of my friends and myself, we all were in different college groups for parties, for, you know, textbooks, for social events, for, you know, sporting events. So I figured out that every single college around the country more or less had these college Facebook groups. So I, as myself, and kind of, you know, I'm going to be super transparent, I had a team creating profiles of attractive females on Facebook that went to these schools. And we were joining these schools at scale. So I think me personally on my Facebook, I was in like over 1,000 college Facebook groups, right? Like my newsfeed got completely destroyed. I can't even use Facebook like personally really to this day, because I've been in all these groups from back then. But we pushed these up really aggressively through college Facebook groups, where we'd literally share like, anyone in Econ 100, I've got the study guide from last semester. This semester, the test is going to be pretty similar. You could really take advantage of this. All you have to do is you have to sign up and you have to upload a few documents to be able to get access. So we did that for a couple months, and we were just driving tens of thousands of people a week to the platform. And then from there, the word of mouth and the sharing of this was just insane.
Was that like your idea? Did you have equity in this company? Like, what was your role at this company with that whole process?
Yeah. So this was my first job out of college. I was just, you know, kind of on a salary and had like some kind of bonus compensation. So I actually did not have equity in this, but I got brought in with the intention of building, growing, and scaling a product for that business that could be lead gen. So unfortunately, I didn't have any kind of real equity. We did have some like phantom stock that all employees got. And that company ended up selling for almost $60 million to Barnes and Noble. But I had left after it sold, unfortunately.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, it's still cool that you were a part of that, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So through that experience of building and scaling a product, and the other thing I didn't mention is we did a lot of cold email. So we found that every single college had a directory, right? So on these directory, we found student email addresses. So I ended up developing my love for email, and really my skill set for email through this experience. So I felt like I got a lot from it. And, you know, as I mentioned, to this day, I still leverage email, and that's how we drive income for our clients and therefore for our agency.
That's incredible, man. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I'm curious to hear more about email, because I'm really just not very good at it. And then speaking of email, you had an email travel series. So let's talk about that, because I know that blew up too.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I took a playbook from like the Hustle, Morning Brew, the Skim. And for anyone not familiar with those businesses, literally, they're an email business where every single day, depending on which one of those you join, they send you business news. They send you kind of current events that females would kind of share around the water cooler, right? So there's these really profitable and kind of highly scalable business models that I really loved. And I didn't feel like anyone was doing an exceptional job with travel. All the content on travel was so clickbaity, or you could just tell that Marriott was sponsoring this content because they had a location in Playa Vista, right, or in Hawaii. So I really wanted to create a true, authentic travel community that had no biases towards Marriott or Hilton or Airbnb. And we were just pumping out content and connecting people from around the world that really were passionate. So we scaled that email newsletter from 0 to 500,000 email subscribers in 10 months.
That's insane. So, I mean, like, what are you even doing to get that so high?
Yeah, so I'd say there were obviously dozens of things that we tried and tested, but I'd say the four big strategies that worked for us. So the first was cold email, believe it or not. So we had actually built a tool that aggregated data from Instagram, because for us, Instagram really was a platform where Instagram is all about visual and kind of photography and beautiful places. So we kind of identified that was the hub for us, and we were kind of, again, I'm going to be super transparent. We were scraping data of people that posted with hashtag travel, people that followed email accounts like Nat Geo, people that geotagged locations like Bali, Indonesia. Back in the day, this was before Instagram had the contact button. So all these people had their email in their bio. So we were able to parse out, Corey, you know, you live in Los Angeles, right? So, hey, Corey, I came across your hashtag LA photo. Wanted to invite you to join this travel community that we're building. And we have 4,622 other people from LA, right? Like we like would just give the most accurate number of people that we had in a specific location. So that way it seemed real because it actually was real. And we were just scaling it through cold email. We probably scraped about 5 million emails of people that had some kind of travel indication. And we were hitting like 40, 50% open rates at scale and about 10 to 15% click-throughs and replies, depending on what we were optimizing for. So through the likes of cold email, we probably acquired maybe about 150,000 of these subscribers.
Wait, and so what was the content like specifically? Was it like little pictures, like travel here? Like what was it
like?
Yeah,
so there was a couple elements. So it was a once a week travel email series where we'd feature a specific destination from around the world. This would be a place that was off the beaten path that, you know, if I said you wouldn't even know, right? I didn't even know. I can't even remember some of them, but, or other well-known places like Paris, France, or somewhere in Hawaii. And every week we would send this really beautifully designed email that was, you know, maybe 3 to 5 minute read that allowed you to escape from whatever it was that you were doing and really envision yourself either being there, going there, having been there, where we would talk about the best places to eat, right? The best places to stay. What time of the year should you go? What type of things should you pack that you might not know of? What are the things that the locals do? And we just really crowdsourced and put the community first. In every single email, we gave people credit for the photo, right? We had linked to their Instagram. We gave people credit for the tips that they gave. So people got addicted as this thing grew to the fact that they could drive hundreds or thousands of clicks to their profiles and gain influence and following. So it almost became like this addiction of like, if we featured these people, their personal profiles would scale because the audience ended up being so big. And then they would tell their friends, right? So like everything I've done was pretty aggressive on the initial marketing. And then the word of mouth and kind of the referral marketing really kicks in.
No, absolutely. And I totally, word of mouth is so important to establish once you have a quality product. And I think like the best way to do that is exactly how you did it. And we haven't hit scale, but I think one of the main things is kind of what you did where we took our, we have like 2,000 photos and videos for our database for our program builders on our app. And we took different exercises around the world based on like their different like hashtag bench, hashtag squat. And we would say, hey, can we use these photos for the app? And then we would take their photos, use them for our database. And then they would post about the app saying, hey, I'm featured in the app. This is so cool. And then we get more users that way. So we didn't do it at scale. We only did it for like maybe 5% of our database, but it worked really well. And I still want to go back and do it. But I think it's, yeah, that social like recognition, that social recognition and social word of mouth is super important.
Second part of that question that you asked is about like the cold email side, right? So the part that I just gave you about the beautifully designed newsletter, that was for obviously everyone that opted in. On the cold email side, right, on the acquisition piece, what we would do is we would send people highly personalized emails, getting them to take a specific action. So one action could be going to our main landing page and entering your email. Another action could be joining our Facebook group. And one of the questions that we ask you before you join our Facebook group is what is your email, along with two other questions. We would send you to type forms, right? So depending on how we sourced you. So again, Corey, I know that you live in LA. So if I found you in LA, I would send you to a specific type form that talks about LA that then tries to get you to give us content for LA. So we were just sending like these highly personalized emails, leveraging the social data that we found on these people to make it seem very personal, right? So again, we sent 5 million cold emails with, you know, half the people opened it. Like it was just insane.
Yeah, that's insane. That kind of open rate is crazy. I mean, I don't even, what year were you doing this?
This was 2017. So it was.
So not too long ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it was long enough ago where definitely things have gotten harder and things have gotten more difficult. If you were to ask me, could I do this today? I'd say the answer would be yes. It might just take me longer. Gotcha. Like the things that we did then still work today, but Gmail, Yahoo, a lot of these people have gotten better at detecting certain things that we might just have to, instead of sending 5 million emails over 10 months, we might have to send it over 16 months, right? Like that, I'm just making up a number. Yeah. So I could still do the things that I did then today. It just would be a little bit harder and taking a little bit longer.
Yeah. And I've noticed, like, I feel like every single day it gets harder to not spam, but like, you know, to do outreach because I mean, people get spammed so much, but it's like, I literally just delete emails that I get if it's not specific to anything I care about. Cause it's just like, obviously you don't even look at who I am. But I mean, like if I was traveling, and I got like a really nice email, I might be like, okay, let me check this out, you know? But again, sometimes I open it, sometimes I don't. But I feel like 3 years ago, yeah, it might've been easier. And my next question was actually going to be, yeah, do you think you could redo something like this today? So, you already answered. That's perfect. But yeah, that open rate's crazy though. But obviously, like, I think it has to do with having that really quality content and also social content, like we mentioned before, like getting people involved in the community. So you kind of mentioned you did like giveaways and that kind of stuff. Can you kind of break that down a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And then one last thing actually to close this out on the open rate side, right? There are a couple, I mean, obviously there's a lot of elements that entail whether someone will open or not. The four that I focus on, one is the from name, right? Is the from name familiar? Is it someone that I know? Like, what's the from name, right? So when I send emails from my personal self, it says Chase Diamond. Corey, when you send emails from your business, right, it will say like maybe We Strive or Corey from We Strive, right? So if people think that sounds familiar, if they think it sounds interesting, that's one plus in your direction. The next, right, which everyone knows about and everyone focuses the most on, is the subject line. Is the subject line enticing? Is it interesting? Without being clickbaity, right? If it's clickbaity and people open it, but your content has nothing to do with what you promised or said, then you're going to get marked as spam. You're going to get deleted. You're going to lose trust. The third is what's called preview text or pre-header text. So again, in the inbox from left to right, you have the from name, you have the subject line, and you have a little snippet of text that you can see before you open. Those are the three main things that'll get people to open it. But the last one, and really the most important, is where are you landing? Are you landing in the inbox? Are you in promotions? Are you in spam? That has a huge, huge, huge factor in terms of the open rate. If I was sending 5 million emails and they all went to spam, instead of getting 50% open rates, I probably would have had 5% open rates, right? So those are like really the four things that I focus on when I send an email. It's doing everything I can. Again, there's no perfect science or there's no perfect math at landing in the inbox. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but am I landing in the inbox? Are these people going to be intrigued or familiar with my name? Is this subject line going to entice people to open? And does the preview and pre-header text relate to the two other things? So that way when people do open, they're not confused. They know exactly what to expect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm good at the first two. I don't think I have too good of preview text, so I probably need to work on that. But I did like a short like 20 emails the other day just to test it out, and I got a really good open rate, but like almost no engagement after that. So I think my open rate's good. I just need to fix the content and maybe the preview of what I'm actually sending. But you also, the next thing you had here, the giveaways. So let's talk about the giveaways that you were doing.
Yeah. So for us, like after we initially acquired, you know, a base of subscribers, we use giveaways and kind of, you know, referral marketing to increase the base. So we did a lot of solo giveaways and we did a lot of kind of partnership giveaways. So a solo giveaway was just us as our travel series saying we're giving away airfare and a hotel stay to Hawaii, for example, right? And we would just send that to our own audience. You know, maybe we'd get 5 or 10,000 people to enter, and a percentage of those people would be completely net new. So we incentivized the current people on our list to invite their friends and to share on social, because the more people that they were able to recruit, the more chances and the more entries that they had to personally win. So if we had 10,000 people join, you know, we were seeing maybe 20 to 30% of those people being net new. So every time we ran our own giveaway, we could get like 1,000, 2,000, maybe 3,000 new people on our list. On the other side, right, we were then running partner giveaways. So there's platforms out there. I have no affiliation with this one, but it's called Dojo Mojo. That's one that we use a lot. I know it's kind of a weird name, but you can find other e-commerce brands, you can find other newsletters, other media companies on there, and you could do a joint giveaway. So instead of us doing it by ourselves, we would get 2, 3, 4, 5 other partners that all wanted to contribute towards the prize. So maybe it's their own products. Maybe instead of us paying for this giveaway, we split it 5 ways. And then really the kicker is every single one of those other brands has to share it on their social and to their newsletter, right? So instead of us getting 10,000 by ourselves, we might now get 30, 40, 50,000 people that enter. And all the new people from those other lists are completely net new. So instead of us getting 20 or 30% when we run it by ourselves, we could end up getting two or three times more the total number of people entering, but like 50% of those people or 60% of those people being new because they came from other people's lists. So that was a huge strategy that helped us acquire probably a couple hundred thousand people over that 10 months.
That's so crazy. I mean, a couple hundred thousand is such a ridiculous number to just be like, oh yeah, a few months, a couple hundred thousand. It's like, I get excited when we get like one new trainer on the app. So I couldn't even imagine what it'd be like to get that many people like joining your email list in a few months. So, I mean, props to you guys.
Definitely. Thank you. It's definitely a lot of adrenaline, but at the end of the day, I think it's really important for people listening. Like it starts with one, right? I'm telling you about like the highlights and kind of the really, the great stuff that we figured out. Right. But it started with one person and then started with two people, right? Like it in the beginning, like it is painfully slow until you figure out a channel that's really cost effective, that has scale. So if you're only getting one person a day or two people a day for anyone listening, don't be discouraged. Like just keep going. Over the course, you know, of a month, you get one person a day, that's 30 people, right? You know, if you could start multiplying that every month and doubling, that's 60 people the next month. So I just thought that might be important to kind of add is like, don't be discouraged. It all starts from zero and then one, and it works its way up from there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No, I totally agree. Like I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, I'm so devastated when I don't get like one person to join for one day. But then I'm like, you know what? But I had one person yesterday and that person's excited about it. So and then the next day I'll get like five. So it's, you know, I totally agree. It starts with one is definitely an important lesson for sure. And then the next thing, so you mentioned that you had a growth service for musicians to promote their music. Can you kind of explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, man. Oh, everyone's getting all the dirt. Everyone's getting kind of all the interesting things I've tried in the past. But I had built basically an Instagram automation tool. So it would auto like, comment, follow, DM. And I branded it specifically towards musician. I really like music. I was pretty active on SoundCloud. So what I had done is I had scraped SoundCloud, got a list of hundreds of thousands of musicians on SoundCloud. And I was like, what do these people all need and want? And for them, they all wanted distribution of their music, right? Like that's the only thing that matters to them. These people are so diehard about their music that if they get people to listen to it, like that's the most, you know, rewarding and fulfilling thing. So I built a service that helped these musicians grow their Instagram following and therefore promote their music. So I had done that for, I don't know, maybe 4 to 6 months, and a large player in the space, they were doing about $3 million a month. They basically sent me a message saying like, we see the success that you're having. We're either going to make a clone and we're going to destroy you because we have infrastructure and budget, or we're going to buy you. Which one do you want? So I was like, yeah, you could buy me.
Exactly. Yeah.
I ended up consulting with them for about two and a half years after they bought me kind of as like a consultant on the side. So it ended up being a small kind of sale, like low, you know, low kind of five-figure deal. And then over time through the consulting, like they were paying me really, really well. So it ended up being all in all over like a three-year period deal plus consulting fees, like a six-figure deal.
I mean, that's a good deal. Yeah. If you're, were you doing like full-time consulting or just like part-time? How did that work?
So yeah, it was part-time. Like I had an agency and this was just kind of like it almost ended up becoming like a client of my agency, for lack of a better word, where it started with some consulting. And then at one point they hired our team to do some stuff. And then I helped them build their team and then started doing consulting. And the only reason I stopped working with them is they actually got sued from Instagram for like $10 million. I was like, all right, I'm out.
Oh, the app that you made?
So not the app that I made, but the parent company that bought me.
Oh, I thought they bought the thing you made and then that got them sued for $10 million.
Oh, no.
I was like, you got out perfectly then. Okay, gotcha.
No, thankfully not. No, these guys were doing, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year in revenue, and Instagram kept slapping them on the wrist and they just would not go away on their other businesses. Instagram kind of had it and sued them. And as soon as that lawsuit came, I was like, guys, it's been a great ride. Like I have nothing to do with this. You guys are the one making the millions and millions of dollars. And you guys are the ones kind of doing this. Like, it doesn't make sense for us to continue together. And they're like, yeah, you should get out. Like there's no point for you to get dragged in with us.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. That's crazy. Well, yeah, you got away then. That's good. Hopefully they're not still on the look for you. Just kidding.
No, I'm good. Thankfully they never had my name. I was like such a small piece. Like my business that they bought was doing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month in revenue, where their other businesses were doing a whole lot more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. Good to know. Yeah, I feel like Instagram can just do that at any point. So definitely something to be on the lookout for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your current venture now. Like what are you doing these days? Like what's the new thing?
Yeah. So, again, like my background really is in building communities largely through organic social and cold email. And a good buddy of mine has been in the e-com space now for about 6 years. About three and a half years ago, he hit me up and he's like, dude, like, why don't you come into the e-commerce space? Why don't you start doing some more like opt-in marketing? I don't know anyone that's done any of this crazy shit that you have. Like, I think you could really crush it. So I took a course like three and a half years ago, got a few clients, and dude, now fast forward to today, my team is like 10 people that work for me. We have like 35, 40 clients. We've done just shy of about $40 million in email revenue over the past, you know, two and a half years since I started this agency. So I'm just really in love with email. Like, as weird as that is to say, like, I'm just really good at it and I really enjoy it. And I've seen like my career has gone from being like a generalist and doing like decently well to pretty well to now being a specialist. And that to me, like, changed the game for me. Like, I had two agencies before this, you know, they did pretty well. They did, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month, you know, no complaints, but this business is grown faster than any of those and done way better. Like, you know, we do six figures a month for the agency. And I really attribute that to just specializing and focusing on a single thing and becoming the best at it.
Okay, so what makes your current agency different than other agencies?
So it makes it, so there's two answers to that. This agency right now is different than my other two agencies because we only offer one service now. So on my previous two agencies, we offered every single service under the sun. We did influencer marketing, we did SEO, we did email marketing, we did paid acquisition, right? Like whatever marketing service that I miss, we said we did that too, right? And at some point we probably did. So I felt like with friends and family and clients, when I told them that we did everything, people really heard that we did nothing, right? It goes back to that whole saying of like jack of all trades, master of none. So with this business, like I really kind of deliberately focused on just offering the service that I felt like I was better than anyone else at and niching down, right? Like instead of just doing email marketing for SaaS and media and e-commerce, I just picked e-commerce and that's all we do. So that laser focus has allowed us to become the best and really brand ourselves as the experts. And when I talk to people, it's a lot more tangible, right? Oh, I do email and then they understand it. You know, I'm really good at email. We've done, you know, almost $40 million in revenue in email, right? So I think that was for me personally the biggest advantage that I have over my other agencies. And then now kind of compared to the market, compared to the competition, there are other people that just offer email. Some of them have just started out, others have been offering it for longer, but we really obsess over our clients. We really obsess over the work that we do. We're very much perfectionist, which has allowed us to have really great referrals, really great case studies, and really great client retention. So those are the kind of the two pieces why I think we're doing so well.
Yeah. And I think in so many different aspects in life and in startups and in business, it's just like, yeah, just keeping it simple. I mean, in everything, I think every time I build something, I'm like, how do we make this easier to use, easier to follow, easier to explain? I feel like when I first started pitching my company, like we're a two-sided marketplace. We have personal trainers and we have exercisers. And it was like, even just saying that out loud is exhausting. I'm like trying to figure out how to pitch it. And then I would always explain the personal trainer side and then I'll explain the exerciser side. And it's like, okay, well, what do you even do? Like you just do so many things. And so I think, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you know, you're going to become a master of none if you do so many things. And if you just say, hey, we're the best at email marketing, it's like, I know exactly what you do, you know? But yeah, if you're a social media agency with SEO, then email, it's like, you know, how do I even tell someone about you? So I think that also makes it really easy to refer you because I can say it in four words to anyone I know. So I think that's a really good point for sure. And so how long have you been running this current company?
Yeah, so this agency started 2 years ago, actually 2 years as of this coming June. So just shy of it.
And then you guys have some pretty big clients too, right?
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's so cool. Like, one of the brands that we work with and we've been working with since October of 2018, a couple months after we started, is The Chive. And are you familiar with The Chive, like the men's millennial site?
Is that Chive TV?
Yes, yeah, Chive TV, yeah. TheChive.com, yes. The Chivery.
I used to work at a restaurant. We had Chive TV play all day. I have seen every Chive TV video. So yes, I definitely know what Chive TV is. That's amazing.
Yeah. So dude, like when I was like in middle school and high school, that was like, to me, like the coolest brand ever, right? Like, oh man, there's like all these attractive women and there's all these crazy stunts and there's all these cool things that they're doing. Right. Like to me, like the Chive was like the coolest thing ever. And again, I obviously still think they're cool, but I'm married. I have a baby. Like, I don't look at it the same way now. They're a client and I'm happy that they're doing well. But for me, like, going from like idolizing this brand as like a child to now being able to work with them and I've consulted with them for a year and a half is like the coolest, most fulfilling thing. So The Chive has been a really great client of ours. We work with a really cool company called Ibex. They make the most amazing merino wool. They've been around since 1997. They have the most diehard community I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's just absolutely insane. We work with a public company out of Canada called Namaste Technologies. When we started working with them, I hadn't checked now. They had like a market cap of about $200 million. We consulted with Clover Healthcare, which is valued at like $1 billion. So like some of the companies that we work with are just unbelievable. But what I really enjoy though is like most of our clients probably do in the ballpark of $1 to about $15 million in annual revenue. And I love working with those guys because most people don't know them. They have such great products, such great services, and we really get to be a part of this engine that they're building to help them scale and grow their businesses and, you know, expand their team. So it's been really fulfilling. I actually do like working more with some of these smaller guys that have less resources and less, you know, ability and helping them scale.
I mean, I think that's cool. I mean, it's like, you know, you can get Disney on board, but it's like, how much bigger are you going to make Disney? Like, what do you, you know, are you going to email someone? They're going to go, oh, I never heard of you. Like, tell me more. It's like, so I think that's really cool that you have a brand where like, they're not some, you know, nobody brand, but it's like, I had never heard of Chive TV prior to working at my restaurant. And then everyone that would come in would just love, like they would just stare at the TV. They wouldn't even eat their dinner the entire time. And so, I mean, it's cool that you can take a brand like that and you can actually bring it out to the world and like, you can actually see the impact you're having versus just like, you know, I mean, either struggling to get a paycheck from this company or it's Disney. So I think that's a really cool middle ground for sure.
Yeah.
And so how big is your, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and like, I mean, it's really rewarding because you got to help these guys that are smaller and kind of in the similar bucket as myself, right? Scale and become something really established and substantial where like, you know, no offense against Disney, obviously they'd be a really cool client. I'd love to have that logo on my website.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we're not saying don't come on Disney. we're not saying that.
Yeah, if anyone listening works at Disney and wants to connect us, let me know. No, I'm kidding. But I really like helping the guys and the people that are the underdogs, right? And through like this whole, you know, coronavirus COVID thing, really being a great partner for our brands to me has been the most fulfilling thing. So I've actually been hiring more people to service our current brands to be the best partner for them. And you better believe, right? Like, I've got clients now for life. It's easy to be there for people when times are easy, right? It's hard to be there for people when times are hard. So that's kind of been our mantra and our saying over these past couple of weeks and months is it hasn't been easy, but we're not looking for easy. We want the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to ask, how big is your team right now?
So right now, myself, my partner, and then eight employees. So we're a team of 10 right now and growing. So probably be at 12 or maybe about 12, 13 by the end of the month. And yeah, we're trying to hire like 1 to 2 people a month at this point.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome, man. And then so let's say someone brings you on your team. Let's say you went independent, your company like either got sold or you moved on, whatever. What would you do if you got hired at a company? Like they were just like, hey, we know you're great at this, Chase. We want you to just bring your A game, do whatever you feel like you need to do. What would you do?
Dude, that's a great question. I mean, I talked about this actually with some friends the other day. I even posted this on Twitter. My whole thing right now is my agency is super important and that's never going to change. But I'm so focused on building my own personal brand because I really believe that if you invest in yourself and you invest in your personal brand and your own skill sets, that's longevity, right? Like, I'm going to be doing email, I'm going to be in this e-commerce space for a very, very long time. So irrespective of what happens with my agency, if we sell or if something happens, I'm going to be known as Chase the email guy. So that doesn't really answer your question. I'm going to get to that in a second. But my advice, and at least what I'm doing and I've seen work really, really well, is just build your own personal brand. So regardless of what happens, your business closes, your business gets sold, whatever reason you want to walk away, maybe you and your partner got in a disagreement. If you could be the face of it, and if you could be the person that brings them in and the reason that people come and stay, that is so powerful. So if I sell this business, I'm going to probably, as soon as the non-compete and the earnout happens and is over, I'm going to go do this again and build it twice as big, twice as fast, right? That's the kind of person I am. I can't even fathom or like imagine having like a boss. I don't think I'm a great employee, to be honest. And that's why I do what I do, right? Like, that's the whole saying, like, us entrepreneurs would rather work 80 hours a week for ourselves versus 40 hours a week for someone else. Like, I don't know. Like, that to me has been the biggest eye opener. Like, now having this baby and having this family, like, I want to build this team so that way I could work smart and I don't have to work as long, right? I'm always going to work hard, but I really want to be focused on the things I want to be focused on by the hour, right? Like, if I don't want to do a call in an hour, I want to be able to tell my team, hey, you need to hop on this call. I have to go take care of my baby. So I don't know if I answered your question, but those are kind of just some of my thoughts.
No, absolutely. Well, man, well, actually, I feel like you have a good answer. So we will go to my question. So if someone, like, if a company was like Disney was like, hey, you're not really going to have a boss, but like, we just want you to take over I won't even say email. You're going to come on board. We have this gap here. Like, we'll pay you $1 million a year. What are you going to do for that company?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, my whole career has been built around non-paid acquisition. So I've never run an ad in my life. Everything's just been email and organic social. So it would have to be, I'd imagine, something in that wheelhouse of like, how can I improve Disney's email program? Or how can I add value through these, you know, different channels and ways? So yeah, I'm imagining in this scenario that it would be kind of an employee or a manager or director, whatever the right word is, on some kind of email initiative. And I would want to kind of completely rethink and restructure like how Disney does email, just because they're doing it one way. Maybe that's the right way. Maybe it's the wrong way, but I would probably just want to have fun with it and see at that kind of magnitude and scale, what type of things I could be doing better or differently, because even incremental increases in open rates and click-throughs like have, you know, tremendous impact on the bottom line.
Absolutely. Well, cool, man. So this has been awesome. Do you have anything that you would tell someone that wants to start a business that maybe is like kind of on the fence?
Yeah. So if, depending on when this goes live, if all this coronavirus stuff is still happening or not, or even shortly after,
I guess. Oh, this goes live on Monday, just to clarify.
So on Monday, when you listen to this, obviously everything, the state of the economy are still going to be largely the same. I would start by finding people in your network that have been impacted positively or negatively from, you know, COVID-19 coronavirus as a result of everything happening, and just see how you could be helpful, right? You know, if they need help with email marketing, you have a background in email marketing, or you're willing to learn, like, offer your services and offer your time for free or for penny on the dollars, right? Get some reps, get some case studies. And if you could help them now, when things do get better, because again, they are going to get better, they always will, you're going to be the top of mind, they're going to be able to pay you more. So that's really my recommendation that I've been telling people, is like, see who you could help out right now when times are either really good or really, really bad, and just get reps, get case studies, build confidence, start building your name, start creating content. And before you know it, right, you could pick up one client. If you do well with them, that could be two clients, right? And everything you do, look to have kind of the network effect. Look for that multiplier on like, hey, I'm signing on right now to help you for way lower than I normally would. If I do well, will you write a review for me? Will you leave a video testimonial? And will you refer me to someone, right? So I think be upfront about your intentions and find ways to negotiate, because everyone knows someone that could use something.
I totally agree. And I think that's what some of the best advice we get on the show is people coming on board. And the best advice I give anyone, based on like the mistakes I made, is that just do really good work for free if you have to, and then it'll pay off in the future. Absolutely. Or at least like for cheap, but it always ends up paying off, because yeah, someone will leave that review. or maybe they'll even hire you full time. It's better to have a job and a great review than to just kind of sit on your ass and not do anything and wait for this all to end.
Yeah. And to touch on that too, like at the end of the day, like nothing beats doing high quality work. Time over time, if your work is the highest quality, inherently people are going to be sharing about you. So Corey, I mean, we're on this podcast today because one of my clients, CrossNet, had spoke with you before, and the founders there were like, Corey is a great dude. We loved his podcast. Like, Chase, you should hit him up. I think you could drop a lot of value for his audience and have a really great conversation with him. And that's how I got here, right? Like Corey, I wasn't asking them like, oh, what podcast should I go on? I have a really cool story to tell. They literally hit me up because they are so happy with the work that we're doing and they like us as people that they referred me to you, right? So again, at the end of the day, just be a great person, have morals, have values. And if you do great work, like I don't think you have to worry. Like for us personally, I'm getting 1 to 2 inbound leads a day just from my network, just from giving advice, just from spending the time, just from doing really great work. And I spent, you know, 2.5 or so years heads down, not doing any talks, not doing any podcasts, not doing anything, just really becoming a master. So I think you need to be okay not becoming an overnight success. Those are seldom.
I totally agree. And yeah, like you mentioned, I think the best things that come out of, you know, being a good person or helping other people or just doing stuff for free is the like not intangible, but the stuff that like doesn't come from what you're looking for. Like my favorite one is I used to drive for Uber on the side, and like I picked up this guy and I was super nice to him and we had a great conversation. And then now we're working on a partnership with Deshaun Jackson and Kevin Hart, and I'm talking with Snoop Dogg next week. And it was because I met that first guy, was really nice to him. And then boom, boom, like 4 connections later through him, I have this, like these interviews lined up. And it's just like if I had just been a dick or kept to myself, I would have never had that. And so I think it's the same in all business. Like I host these networking events now and I meet so many cool people from it. And it's like, I don't expect anything out of them. It's kind of just like whatever happens, happens, and just like, just put your head down, do some work and, you know, be a good person. So I totally agree with that, man.
Yeah, I think there are people who are willing to put in the time and the effort that it takes and willing to invest in things today, you know, tomorrow and the future, like it rewards you. It really does. I think most people though, you know, get really excited, get really antsy and kind of juiced up and do this for like a week or a month, right? And they're like, oh, well, this didn't work. I'm over it. On to the next thing, right? Like I really truly believe that business rewards people that are consistent. And one other thing that I've been saying to everyone is like, everyone says, all right, your network is your net worth. I really believe that like when your network wants to see you win, you win. Like I would not be where I am today without my network. Like every single person on my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, at some point or another has contributed something to help me and obviously forever be grateful.
Yeah, I 100% agree, man. I 100% agree. Well, Chase, this has been really awesome. I'm really excited to see where your company goes. Obviously, it's already killing it. So hopefully we can get you Disney from this huge audience I have on this podcast. It's going to happen. But yeah, man, this has been great. I'm excited to hear more about what you guys are doing down the line. And just wish you the best of luck and hope you stay safe. And congrats on having the kid.
Corey, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again to everyone who's listening now for season 3. This isn't a huge podcast by any means, but we just hit another 10,000 downloads for season 2. To be honest, I'm just really glad that people are coming back and listening to multiple episodes and telling me about them. It's just exciting for me. I've been able to meet the coolest people. I've had some of the most incredible conversations, and I've honestly learned a lot. Had it not been for entrepreneurship, I wouldn't have met any of these people. And I can officially say that I've completed over 60 amazing podcast interviews. Let's keep them coming. Don't forget to download the WeStrive app. Leave us 5 stars if you can. And if you're a personal trainer, be sure to sign up at train.westriveapp.com. Thanks again for all your support. Subscribe if you can. And have an incredible week.
We strive.